to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
And I'm sitting in. And on Friday night, Bob.
Doug, how are you?
I'm scanning the television right now, trying to break into the Lacey Peterson press conference.
Yeah.
As soon as it happens, we will. I understand. Yeah. Is our technical? Are we actually going to cut to it live?
Yeah,
is
we're going to take. We got a live feed.
Got a live feed.
Lacey Peterson's murderer has been arrested.
Well, that's a pretty bold statement to make, Bob.
Well, that's good news, right?
If it is her murderer.
If it is.
If indeed. Just because he was fishing in the same marina on the day she was killed where the body turned up.
Right.
It's very circumstantial.
Right. And just because he made blocks, cement blocks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The police found the molds of the blocks, and four of the blocks were missing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And he didn't.
You sure he doesn't have an old Buick behind his house or something? Maybe that's what it was for?
Right.
Oh, yeah, but where would they be? They're not under the Buick, from what I understand.
What a shame. And, of course, remember that he said, oh, Lacey knew all about the affair.
Oh, right.
She was cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was no problem.
Right.
You know, we had peace over that.
Now, the girlfriend claims that she didn't know he was married.
Right. And I think that's true from all accounts. That's not been challenged anywhere. What was her name? Amber Fry?
Yeah, I think that's possible. I mean, women and men can be gullible when they're involved in sexual immorality.
Yeah, right. But you know what? The sad thing is, even though that woman didn't know that Scott was married, she still obviously plays a role in Lacey's murder.
An unwitting role it may be. But
unwitting, unknowing. But when there's sexual immorality, that's a leading cause of murder,
a leading factor.
Yeah. And so, you know, a young woman is willing to have sex with some guy she just met, and that's enough to push a guy over the edge to get rid of his wife.
Right. They were playing with fire, no doubt about it.
Yeah. And, you know, our government, the FBI, will keep track of when there are drugs or alcohol-related factors in a crime.
Yeah, they release statistics every year.
Yeah, but we need sexual immorality as a factor in crimes.
Yeah, yeah. A fornication index or an adultery index attached to murder.
Now, Bill Maher would make fun of you for using the word fornication.
Yeah, that's just because he can't spell it. But
he's California kid.
Anyways.
But anyway, so they finally arrested Lacey Peterson's murderer.
Right.
And now, you know, we obviously have to go through the trial.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be particularly brutal.
Yeah. And Lacey's family and friends said that it was ludicrous.
And so now until the press conference comes on, let's see if anybody wants to call us with their opinions about the case.
800-8-N-YARDS. 1-800-836-9278. Her family and friends said it was ludicrous, the thought that Scott had told his wife about the affair and that everything was cool. There was no big problem. She had forgiven him or, you know, whatever the exact.
Yeah, well, the opinion of her family has the ring of truth to it.
Yeah.
It's very unusual that a man and his wife have a relationship where he's allowed to sleep around. It's just not that kind.
Well, right. But even if he had come clean and said, hey, I had an affair, I'm sorry, forgive me. And she said, you know what? I love you so much. It's not a problem. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
And she didn't tell her family. She didn't tell her friends. Anyway, her family and friends say that's all a lie.
And now, isn't this guy, I haven't followed the case that much, but isn't he the guy who had the buttons and he stood out in front of Ralph's supermarkets and handed out flyers?
Yeah.
There's got to be a special place in hell for a guy like that.
Yeah. And how about his mother, Scott Peterson's mother, who stood by his side all this time?
All right.
And, you know, she's been so angry at the police for lying. Because the police say that Scott is not a suspect, but she said, but they treat him like a suspect. Well, that's just the quirk of our bizarro public, you know, criminal justice system.
Right.
For some reason, if someone's a suspect, you can't call them that.
Right.
Because that makes things more difficult for the cops.
You have to insist he's not a suspect and carry on a charade. You're like Baghdad Bob or whatever they call that guy.
All the way right up until you arrest, you know, Scott
the murderer.
Peterson.
Yeah. The murderer. We can let's just refer to him as the murderer from here on out.
Yeah, or the Ramses.
Well, now the Ramses, that case isn't nearly as clear cut. But
Oh, no.
No, I'm just, now that's so, being sarcastic so or facetious as, or something like
as
that.
As soon as, you know, when they, if they ever finally arrest the Ramseys before they die.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they could say that they're suspects, I guess.
Then they could say it, right.
Right.
Only when the deathbed confession comes from Patsy.
And, you know, we've talked on this show about how Christian publishers have all been bought by secular publishers.
Yeah, yeah.
And not all of them, but most of the large ones for music and print. And Thomas Nelson, they're the ones, you know, the largest Christian publisher.
Right.
They're the ones who published the Ramseys book about Death of Innocence.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't even show JonBenet's picture on the cover. It shows their picture.
The Ramseys. Oh, man.
John and Patsy Ramsey's picture on the cover, and the title is Death of Innocence.
Mm.
I just can't conceive of that.
Somebody in marketing should have double-checked that thing.
Ah.
Just said, hey, folks, maybe this is going to have people draw the wrong conclusion that maybe you're guilty.
And here's Thomas Nelson, being an enabler for these murderers to help, to help them get away with their crime.
Well, Bob, is it just me or does it seem like since the O.J. trial that the justice system has produced one freakish case after another?
Mm.
Is it just me or do things seem to have gone into a twisted, warped overdrive as far as whacked out justice?
Right. When O.J. was found not guilty, I remember us predicting that this is just taking our criminal justice system to a new low – in that murder and terrible crimes just become more commonplace.
Mm-hmm.
You're just mainstreaming murder. And so sure enough, you know, the dream team O.J. had.
Yeah.
And his lead attorney, Johnny Cochran,
yeah.
Who was doing the trial for free.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it turns out it wasn't for free.
No.
It was he was paid for it with the blood of his son who was murdered.
That's right.
Right after the
trial.
Johnny
Cochran's son was a victim of what you might call random street violence.
Yeah, just murder. When you help murderers go free, then you normalize murder.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done in this country.
So Johnny Cochran didn't collect a paycheck for that, but he did get paid.
His son paid. The blood of his son paid for O.J. Simpson to get away with murder.
Wow.
So, it's
so we'll see. But, Bob, come on, this arrest in the Lacey Peterson case, it's got to – yeah, I mean, we do have the greatest justice system in the world, right? I mean, it's got to give you some hope.
The greatest system in the world?
Well
– we have we have the highest paid lawyers in the world.
That's true.
Maybe that's what they mean when they say we have the best justice system in the world.
I guess –
they don't even say justice, right?
No, they just say system.
It's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system.
Right.
And so, yeah, when lawyers say we have the best system in the world, they mean we have the highest paid lawyers in the world.
Right. And judges are like tenured lawyers,
Doug,
right?
I got a bill from a lawyer here.
Yeah.
$4,000. Oh. I thought we're in a live commercial break.
We're on the air.
Jumped right into the break. So, Doug, let me do a break for you.
We're going to do a commercial even though we're on the air. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We got a lot of stuff to sell.
Yeah, this is a commercial break with no bumper music.
Okay.
Does that work? Is that allowed?
Yeah, just go with it.
All right. Well, let me do an official commercial.
You know what the problem is? Is we're waiting for this press conference, and everything is interminably late all the time,
right.
And it's just messing with my head.
Anyway, listen. Hey, a week from tomorrow, I'm going to be at the South Bend Marriott.
I saw that on KGov.
Yeah, I'm excited. And giving a talk at a conference, an all-day conference. My talk is called Christianity and Public Policy.
Wow.
It's going to be fun, and some of my friends are coming along.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Larry Bates talking about economics, Chuck Bates on terrorism, Jesse Lee Peterson.
Jesse Lee.
On rebuilding the family, and Larry Pratt.
All right.
He'll be there talking about, I think, shooting someone. And registration is $15. $25 per couple.
10% discount if you carry in a sidearm.
Hey, there's a guy in South Bend who just got fired from, I think, a Walgreens.
Oh, yeah?
Because a robber came in and he pulled a gun on him.
Oh, he pulled a gun on the robber?
Yeah, so the guy's a hero and he got fired.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So anyway, we're going to try to get that guy at the conference. give him an award for bravery.
All right.
Well, this is Saturday, the 26th, at the Marriott. If you'd like to come out, call 800-336-7000 or register online at kgov.com. That's 800-336-7000 or register online at kgov.com, kgov.com, 336-7000. That's 800-336-7000.
All right. Now that we've finished that break, we can go right back to regularly scheduled programming.
One more minute.
Is that right? We've got 1 minute of regularly scheduled programming?
Yes.
Well, then let's try to make the most of it, Bob.
One more minute of regularly scheduled commercial break.
You know, as far as this Lacey Peterson thing goes,
yeah.
I mean, I have learned a lesson in talking about cases like these.
Is this a commercial?
No, we're in
we
regular.
We have one more commercial.
Oh, we're in the commercial
now. Yeah, 35 seconds.
All right. Well, I'll save that deep and moving opinion
for the show.
Back into the show.
When we get back on the radio waves.
Yeah.
Right
we
now.
We need to talk about God and the death penalty and God's criminal justice system on the eve of this, press conference.
Now, God's criminal justice system, we only have it in syllabus form.
It's only in syllabus form?
Yeah. It's indefinitely backordered until we redo the masters.
Okay, we'll order God and the death penalty. 1-800-836-9278. We'll tell you more in the next commercial break.
Welcome to live radio.
Very live. Brutally live. Painfully live radio.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, the thing is we're all on the edge of our seats. Everyone in America is on the edge of their seat waiting to hear what is the news in the Lacey Peterson case.
And the news is that the murderer has been arrested in San Diego.
It sure seems that way. But I got to tell you, Bob, I've learned a lesson about talking about stories like this before we have all the facts. And I've restrained myself from even following this one. And I know you haven't talked much about it on the air.
Yeah, a little bit here and there. Just a little bit.
But now it seems we are going to have all the facts. The body's been found. The husband's been arrested.
Yeah, we'll have sufficient facts. And I know that we've said over the last 4 months that he's guilty. He's the murderer. But when you don't have all the evidence, obviously, we just hear what we see.
Right.
And that we're not saying that we don't want a trial.
No, we want a trial.
Yeah, you want a trial.
We want to be on the jury.
Unless the guy confesses.
Yeah.
And there's any evidence whatsoever that makes his confession seem plausible.
Right.
Then you don't need a trial.
Right. There's no need for a trial.
You just take all you need then is an execution.
There you go. But what do you think the odds are of getting one of those out of this case?
A confession?
No, an execution.
Oh, an execution.
Let's say he's found guilty.
Right.
Okay, let's say there's an outside chance he's actually convicted. What are they? I say it's probably less than 50-50 that he's put to death.
Well, how about the guys who blew up the World Trade Center back in 93?
Yeah.
They killed 10 people, was it?
Ramzi Youssef.
Injured 1,000.
Yeah.
And they tried to kill, 20,000.
Sure, yeah.
They killed 10.
Yeah.
Injured 1,000. And we gave them the death penalty, right?
I don't think we did.
What?
I don't think we did.
He was convicted.
As a matter of fact, I think he's been sentenced to 923 years or something like that.
He was convicted.
Life plus three times.
How could you murder 10 people, try to kill 20,000, and not get the death penalty?
Do it in America.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
If he'd have pulled something like that in Baghdad, he'd have been put to death.
Yeah.
Even Saddam would have executed
that guy.
That's
one thing they had on him. A swift death penalty.
He couldn't pull something like that in Saudi Arabia.
No, what a tragedy, huh? We can't even execute somebody like that.
And maybe this guy had the nerve to go through with the murder of his wife because he has no fear of punishment anymore.
All right, we're getting ready. In a moment, we're going to go to the press conference in California. Lacey Peterson's murderer has been arrested. And so this will be good, Doug, to find out, the latest, right up to date, what's going on. Will there be justice in this case? Will her husband, Scott Peterson, be put to death? Obviously, that's what we're hoping for. All right, let's go.
I'm going to hand the microphones over to Chief Walton.
Thank you, Detective Ridenour. thank you for being here today. This has been a long 4 months, and we could go through. We've prepared quite a bit of background information. We've prepared some PowerPoint information, and we could go through all of that, but I don't believe that it's really what we're here for. Prior to making what I feel are, you've already heard the one announcement, and I'd like to follow up on that. I'd like to introduce some of the people that are here with me today. This is Chief Norm LaPera from the East Bay Regional Park Police, District Attorney Jim Razzleton, Chief Joel Samuels from the Chief of Richmond Police Department, Sheriff Warren Rupp from Contra Costa County Sheriff's Office and also the County Coroner, Under Sheriff Myron Larson, Assistant Sheriff Myron Larson, Stanislaus County Sheriff's Office, and Kim Peterson from the Sun Carrington Foundation. It's been truly a difficult 4 months, and not just for our community, but for our nation, as we have really worried, tried to, hope for, prayed for a different outcome than the one that has occurred. The recovery of Lacey and Connor is truly, while it's happy to have a conclusion, it's truly sad to have that conclusion. The information that's important to get out is that Lacey and Connor have been found and identified as because of the efforts of law enforcement throughout this country. The coordination, the cooperation, you'll find in the background information that you'll be provided a long list of the agencies that have stepped up and worked tirelessly to try to reach a resolution in this case. I have to credit Chief Samuels, Chief LaPera, for their efforts, their diligence in bringing the Modesto Police Department into the investigation in the recoveries of the bodies that they located, that they had the ability, wherewithal to bring that into this investigation. The only other piece of information that's critical, I believe, to share at this point in time is to let you know that Scott Peterson has been arrested, that he is in the custody of Modesto Police Department detectives, that he is being transferred here to Stanislaus County. He will be booked into the Stanislaus County Jail when he arrives, and that the jurisdiction in this case will be turned over to the District Attorney Jim Brazelton to move this case forward. Now, I'm sure you're going to have a million questions, and I'm going to tell you we are not going to get down into the detail of this investigation. Out of the interest in your time and the effort to make sure we get relevant information out, I've abbreviated that. In the background package, you'll find the depth of information that we can go into, that we can drill down to, so that you can get that information. We have with us the group here that can answer some of the questions if you have questions about things specific to their area. I'll share with you that the thing that makes our country great is the freedoms that we enjoy. And as a free society, we do depend on our public safety and law enforcement to work together for the safety of our citizens. I can honestly tell you that the coordination in this investigation has been tremendous. Not at any time during the 4 months as we made wide-ranging requests for help have we been refused, whether it meant significant expense to other agencies or to private volunteers. At no time was there a reluctance of people to step up and put resources and energy into this investigation. And, you know, as we deal with the homeland security issues and the need to have available resources, I can assure you that law enforcement does work together. And I'll add one other note. Chief Samuels is the current president of the International Association of Chiefs of Police. And so he can speak to you about the nationwide effort that we make to ensure in law enforcement we're doing our part with the community to accomplish the critical public safety mission. With that, I will allow questions.
Chief, what were the circumstances of the arrest of Scott Peterson? Did he put up any resistance? And when will he be charged? And what with?
Scott Peterson was arrested this morning between 11 and noon. I'm not going to go into details of that arrest. It was necessary, we believe, to take him into custody at that time. And that's as much as I'll comment on that.
His parents' home?
He was not at his parents' home. I'll ask the district attorney if he wants to speak to when charges will be filed.
Yes, hi, I'm Jim Brazelton, district attorney of Stanislaus County. We anticipate that Mr. Peterson will be brought here, as the chief indicated, sometime during the night, and we will be more than likely arraigning him on Monday, possibly Tuesday, in the Superior Court of Stanislaus County. He'll be charged with capital murder.
Two counts?
It doesn't mean we're going to seek the death penalty automatically. There are a number of things that we take into consideration when making that decision. But by charging special circumstances, that is one of the options.
How many counts of murder?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Will there be special circumstances? Yes. Special circumstance of double homicide.
How many counts?
Question for the chief. Detective Reitenauer comments the other day on Tuesday the effect that the department was not prepared to make an arrest, did not have a suspect in mind when the identification came back. Was that intended to keep Scott Peterson off guard so that he would not flee the country?
I'm not going to go into detail about the strategies we used. I'm going to tell you that...
Well, clearly your department made a statement that was not true, so we're asking you to explain.
Clearly, we were working the case and the information that we had. Clearly, the media wanted us to name Scott as a suspect. Clearly, we were working and eliminating all leads. I will tell you, honestly, I would love to have had egg on my face, and after we declared this a homicide investigation, have to say we were wrong and found Lacey alive and well. So, you know, I guess we always hold out that hope. However, the investigators working this case, and there was a core team led by Detective Grogan, pursued the logical investigative leads and where they went. And as that investigation moved forward, we thought it was important to keep track of Scott, and we did those prudent, reasonable things so that we could move forward in the investigation. And, you know, if the DNA results had have turned out otherwise, we maybe would be doing a different outcome right now today. The nature and the importance of the DNA testing, the availability of the DNA lab to law enforcement and communities cannot be overemphasized as a critical part of this investigation.
Chief, your department took a lot of criticism from the Peterson family. Did they help you this morning with the arrest? Did they tell you where he was, or did they give you any kind of assistance?
I guess we ought to focus. I'll answer that by saying that this is a tragedy that is affecting many lives. The Petersons, Lee and Jackie Peterson, are Scott's parents, and they've got to deal with that. I understand their fears and concerns, and I don't criticize them. I'm not going to make any negative statements. They wanted to believe in their son, and they chose to do that. We went forward with our investigation today, and the team from the Department of Justice, from the Modesto Police Department, felt like that it was important and necessary a little after 11 this morning to make arrests. Scott was not at anyone's home. Scott was driving a vehicle when the arrest was made. Right back here.
Was there something found on or near the bodies that led the police to arrest Scott, or was it purely the DNA test results?
Well, I'm not going to get into that kind of detail.
All right. After this news break, we will be back. Doug McBurney and Bob Inyart. Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART is the number that you can call to order our materials. For example, God and the Death Penalty. In fact, We should really talk about this God and the Death Penalty video when we get back on the air.
Yes.
Right, Doug?
Yeah. No? Well, we had promised people that we would talk about it after we got
that's right.
in the commercial break.
We did. So so why don't we do that? I'm going to put a note here. Talk about God and the death penalty when we get back on the air. But Scott Peterson is an example. He should be put to death.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, if he's convicted.
Yeah. He should be convicted.
And fairly quickly.
Hopefully he should be convicted. Quickly, it's a little too late for quickly now, right?
Well, it's, right. But, you know, they had to find the body.
Well, actually, they had to.
Did they have to?
No, you could convict people. You know, if you murder someone, let's say you murder someone and then you just incinerate the body.
Yeah.
Does that mean you should get away with it? All good incinerators have a get out of jail free card.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Right. But, you know, we don't know. Perhaps, you know, well, our system is so broken that cops think to make a conviction, they need overwhelming evidence.
Right.
They need, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Well, with
is what the standard right, really
and
is.
And they've been burned so many times, or not so many, but several times very publicly in trials right. where they've been embarrassed.
Yeah.
And so now they're gun shy.
They are.
And the criminals gun-shy. Are, they're thrilled about it.
They're emboldened, like the ACLU and the, who else? The lawyers.
Yeah, the lawyers.
Yeah.
The defense attorneys who are hired by obviously guilty criminals.
You know, we have a video called The Trouble with Lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
Bob versus the publicans.
Right, right. Doesn't some kid call up and say he wants to be a lawyer? And you're like, wait, don't disappoint your mother. Let me talk to you first.
Yeah, we had different lawyers call in, law students.
Right.
And it's fun because they all lied.
That's true.
During the debate.
All the lawyers lied.
They lied because they're trained to be liars.
That's right. That's the measure of intelligence is how well they lie.
That's the etymology of the word. Lawyers, liars.
Etymology.
That's etymology. The study of bugs.
No, I got corrected on
that. Wait, the study of bugs.
is entomology.
That's what lawyers are. No.
Order The Trouble with Lawyers. It's like $25. It's worth twice that. 1-800-836-9278.
We're back. Bob and Nate live. 1-800-836-9278. That's the call-in line.
Yeah.
800-836-9278.
If you want, people can call and comment on the status of the Lacey Peterson case. The facts are out. What were the facts?
Well,
we learned that the guy's been arrested. The body's definitely linked by DNA to Lacey and Scott Peterson.
Even the baby, Connor, is, you know, the paternity test have come in
wow.
positive. Scott murdered his own son and his wife.
So what could possibly happen in a marriage? Your wife is 8 months pregnant. It's Christmas Eve. I mean, it's just stunning that something like this could come to pass.
Yeah, and it happens so often largely because the government is broke. The laws are corrupt, and therefore, so adultery is now legal.
Well,
adultery
that's
is
true.
Legal. When adultery is legal, married people end up despising one another and having these extraordinary urges and motives to kill one another.
Wow.
That comes as a result of adultery being commonplace.
But isn't adultery just giving people their freedom to express themselves and to, what is it, pursue happiness?
Yeah, right.
What if someone's in an unhappy marriage? We can't.
Well,
they can't be locked into an unhappy marriage.
You know, if you're going to give people the freedom to pursue happiness, then the executioner needs you know, to bring home the paycheck. So give the executioner freedom to pursue happiness and to execute these capital criminals.
You're not implying, because I'm certainly inferring
what?
that adultery should be a capital offense.
Well, it was a capital offense in America.
In America?
Yeah. Adultery was a capital crime. And back then, people, you know, divorce was not epidemic. Teenagers were not killing suicide as a leading cause of death.
Right.
And you didn't execute all that many adulterers.
Well, But, Bob, people were a lot more repressed and a lot less happy.
They were?
Sure they were. Ask Bill Maher. He'll tell you exactly.
Has he told you that?
That was his
personally,
opinion.
One-on-one?
Well, I don't know that we've ever gotten into a conversation that deep. His ears always turned red, and he stormed out of the room.
Yeah.
Little midget.
But,
I mean mental. I don't mean not to insult little people.
Yeah. But Scott Peterson is being charged with a double homicide, which is excellent.
Now, the baby, as far as we know, the baby had not yet been delivered, as far as we know.
No. Right. The baby was in the mom. And the reason her body was found decapitated and her torso, only the top half of her torso was found.
Yeah.
And it's because Scott Peterson made these cement blocks and made molds to make cement blocks to weigh down his pregnant wife's body and then tied probably some kind of wire around her neck to blocks and around her waist to blocks and lowered her in the bay. And then with the currents gradually, you know, moving her body and the wire cutting into her body, eventually she was decapitated and her legs, her pelvis was cut off of her torso. And then the baby fell out.
Oh, it's just awful.
And so then the baby's body was not nearly as deteriorated as Lacey's body.
Wow.
And so that's what he did. It's obviously premeditated. He planned it all. He made the blocks.
Right.
I wonder why he wouldn't just buy blocks.
Well, you've said it many times. Murderers are generally not the brightest people on the planet.
Yeah, not good problem solvers.
Not good problem solvers.
So he went fishing, and he had to buy a ticket to launch his boat.
Right.
And so that was his alibi.
Right.
But now it puts him at the scene of the crime.
Well, not good planning.
No, murderers are bad problem solvers.
Wow.
What a tragedy.
It really is. You're right. And, you know, I would ask, there's an awful lot of attention being paid to this case, but there could be this much attention virtually every day of the week if we chose to pay attention to all of the various gruesome, even the particularly gruesome murders. There's one a day. There's a train a day, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. The murder rate in this country back when Bob and Your Life first went on the air, we were nearing our peak, over 20,000 a year, up to 24,000 murders in 1 year. And that doesn't count the abortions, of course,
right?
Because there are 4,000 of those every day. Mm. So you have 1.5 million abortions, over 1 million abortions a year, and then 20,000. Now, I think the murder rate, it changes every year, but it's been down in the low teens or so, murders per year. But that's because we put 1 million more people in jail.
Right.
And now those people are beginning to get out of jail. Because during the 90s, we went from 1 million to 2 million people in jail, and everybody was celebrating that we were winning the war on crime.
Yeah.
Because the crime rate was declining. And we pointed out on Bob and Your Live that the crime rate is not declining. It's just being postponed.
Mm.
We just put all these criminals in jail, and they're all going to get out
in
a few years. And the numbers will go back down from the high of 2 million. These people will get out. They'll commit their rapes and murders and assaults and DUIs and vehicular homicide and get another 500,000 kids addicted to drugs. And they'll go back in jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you turn the argument on the government right away. So my question to you is a simple one. Mm. What could the government have done? Well, let's say the government of California. Mm. What could the state government of California have done to have prevented this double homicide?
I guess they'd have to secede from the union because the Republican U.S. Supreme Court is completely corrupt.
Mm.
Supports homosexuality, abortion, adultery, fornication, pornography, child pornography, a godless curriculum being taught to tens of millions of young people, socialism. I mean, our conservative Republican U.S. Supreme Court is way more dangerous to us than any terrorist group out there.
Wow, that's heavy to say that.
Well, they promote homosexuality in our culture.
They do.
They defend it. and abortion. They defend abortion. Even the do we have any pro-life Supreme Court justices?
Maybe one or two.
I don't think so.
No?
No. Who?
Well, I was going to say Scalia and Thomas. But I don't know. Maybe not. I haven't read any of their particular. Have they ruled on any abortion cases in recent?
I've read what they have said when they've spoke on the issue, that they're called pro-life because they say Roe v. Wade should be overturned because it wasn't a law passed by Congress. So if Congress passed legalizing abortion, or if a state legislature like California, if they have laws saying abortion is legal, like mm-hmm. we have here in Colorado, then according to Scalia and Thomas, that's perfectly legally valid.
They would rubber stamp those.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it was voted for to kill kids.
It's worse than I thought.
That's our pro-life. That's pro-life. I thought pro-life meant you believe that the baby has a right to life.
Yeah, that's the way I always interpret
it. Yeah, so if that's the definition of pro-life, there are no pro-life Supreme Court justices, even though pro-life Republican presidents have appointed a majority of them.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Let's go to – where are we going?
Noblesville, Indiana. Joe, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob. This is Joe, formerly Joe of Glastonbury, Connecticut.
Joe of Connecticut.
Glastonbury, yeah.
Has moved to Indiana.
Right.
A hotbed of conservative Christian thought and action.
So I hear.
All right, Joe, what's up?
And I have to apologize because I've been offline for so long. I haven't listened to the show.
Oh, no apology necessary.
I don't really know what you were discussing, but I was hoping that maybe some of your listeners in Indiana could suggest a good church for my family here.
That could be a challenge.
Joe, have you thought about moving further west?
This might be a short pit stop here.
Wait a minute. From Connecticut, you got all the way to Indiana?
Right.
And you stopped?
Stopped.
You know, Denver was just another day's drive.
Right.
So, Joe, when did you and your wife arrive in Noblesville?
Early this week, Monday, I believe.
And I think I hear kids in the background.
My son.
Cool. What's his name?
Ryan.
All right.
So, well, for one, congratulations for moving to a more conservative state.
Thanks.
That is a good move.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, we have agents active in the field right now in Indiana who are actively searching for a good church.
That's right.
And they have been for several years.
That's right. Now, how far are you from Indianapolis?
I think it might be about 45 minutes north.
Because there's a Grace Church that we had a seminar at last August, was it? Does God Exist? Grace Church in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And so that's a little ways, but I tell you, that's a neat church. And I'll give you the name of people on the air, Dave and Lisa King in Indianapolis. You got to get in touch with those guys.
Okay.
They're just the best. If you hold on, we'll get your phone number.
All right.
You got an Indiana phone number?
I do now, yep.
All right, we'll get your phone number, and we'll give it to Dave and Lisa King in Indianapolis.
In the meantime, we've got a line open, 1-800-836-9278. All right, Bob Inyart, commercial break. This is live radio, folks. Live radio. And I'm going to tell you about some of our videos right now. You know about Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and God and the death penalty, New Testament support for capital punishment
for Scott Peterson. And then a Bible tour of Israel. You know, we have a friend who just watched that video, and she said, oh, next time you guys go to Israel, I gotta go. This video, it'll make you feel like you're in Israel, part of the group, seeing the sights that are so fun to see, the evidence that still remains to this day, thousands of years later, the evidence for the validity of the stories in the Bible. You know, it's neat when you get evidence to back up parts of a story, because then you ask yourself, well, how compelling is this evidence? Does this evidence point to the validity of the entire story? It's fun to do that because you can look for evidence to disprove a story. You could do that. For example, the Book of Mormon. We have a lot of evidence to disprove the Book of Mormon. And so how about the Bible? Well, it's really hard to get evidence to disprove that the Bible is the Word of God. And so our Bible tour of Israel will give you an ample dose of evidence that remains to this day, archaeological, historical, geographic, cultural evidence to support the story of the Bible. That's a Bible tour of Israel. It's a fun video. So give us a call or order online, 1-800-836-9278.
Hey, Bob, you just finished a commercial on geographic evidence for the story of the Bible.
Yeah.
Well, there's a story today out of the L.A. Times.
Mm-hmm.
New radioactive dating from a major Iron Age site called Tel Rahav in northern Israel supports the biblical tradition that David and his son Solomon, founders of the ancient kingdom of Israel, were real nation builders and not mythical figures, as some historians have argued.
That is, Doug, there's just this constant flow of archaeological and historical evidence that reinforces the story of the Bible.
Yeah.
It is really cool.
And, you know, I haven't seen a release of a scientific study that that outright disproves any Bible story.
No,
but
right.
But so many, even though they may not outright prove the Bible, they lean strongly toward it. They suggest evidence indicates.
Yeah,
that, you know,
right.
it's so awesome.
You know, people forget how far we've come. Critics of the Bible used to say that, well, men didn't even know how to write in the time of Moses.
Right, right, yeah.
So there could be no record written by Moses, and any story of Moses would have to be mythical. And then if you go centuries before that, the time of Abraham, forget about it. There's no way you can have an accurate story, an account of a man's life, you know, 4,000 years ago.
Right, right.
But it turns out that's not true. Because there was writing, archaeologists have proved beyond any doubt.
Yeah.
Their culture was sophisticated. Even their architecture was sophisticated. Their economics, their legal system. It wasn't like they had just crawled out of caves.
Well, that's what happens, Bob, is they assume that since it was so many thousands of years ago, we must have been closer to our Neanderthal state
right.
than we were to our state of mind.
But in reality, they had just disembarked the Ark.
Yeah.
And they came off the Ark with a tremendous amount of information in their heads.
Yeah.
They weren't, you know, grunting trying to figure out how to make fire. And so the earliest cities and the earliest cultures known are very sophisticated. That's so cool.
Yeah, like all that stuff there that got looted out there in Baghdad.
Yeah,
some pretty sophisticated art, 3,000-4,000 years old.
Yeah, or even, you know, a couple thousand years before Christ. That's tremendous.
Yeah.
And so it's the opposite of what the evolutionists would predict. Evolutionists would predict that the oldest cultures and cities would be extremely primitive.
Right.
Instead, we find that the oldest cities, like Al-Nasiriyya, where they had the first meeting.
Oh, no, Syria. That's what the Marines called it.
We're not grateful.
At the checkpoints.
We're not grateful that you Yankees Oh, no, Syria.
At the checkpoints, the Marines started calling, oh, no, Syria.
We're coming
Stop
in.
The oh, no,
Syria.
Stop the car.
Well,
right
Al Nasiriya, that's Ur of the Chaldees, right next door to where Abraham was born.
Yeah, isn't that where the coalition forces set up the tent to have the first meeting of the new, was in Ur of the Chaldees? Is that?
Yeah.
Well, Ur? In the Ur, like the Ur, the Abraham? Ur,
where Abraham was born. Wow. Terah lived.
Wow.
And he was not, you know, a nomad, you know, wandering. They lived there. And
right.
God called them to go to Israel.
Yeah.
So anyway, Ur was a sophisticated city.
Yeah.
And that sophistication gives us evidence that men had not climbed out of trees and emerged from caves to build the first cities. They were already sophisticated and intelligent when at first they appear in recorded history.
Right. And, you know, my guess is that only in times of great moral decline did men actually degenerate to the point where they did live in caves and you know, live hand to mouth day to day. It was because they separated themselves from God. They lost a certain amount of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we have evidence of cave dwellers. That's evidence of a social failure.
Yeah.
Cave dwellers. Yeah. It's not evidence of evolution.
No, right. Not at all.
And most of them, by the way, the cave dwellers were in France.
And and you know, just because you got pictures in caves.
Right, right.
And some chicken bones in the bottom of a cave.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't mean the whole culture lived in caves.
No.
There may not have been enough caves to hold much of a culture.
Right.
You know, but maybe they hung out in the – maybe it was teenage boys getting drunk.
Carving stuff in the wall of a cave.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that, you know, it's weird how people who hate God could read anything into, you know, virtually no evidence.
All right. And we've got a line open, 1-800-836-9278. That's the number to call, 1-800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278.
So a Christian should be calling for Scott Peterson to be executed.
Yes.
And a Christian who is against the death penalty for a convicted murderer, that Christian is sinning. It's a sin. You're profaning God.
Well, now, wait a minute now.
Wow.
Now, an awful lot of Christians, especially our Catholic brothers and sisters.
Catholics?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Christians that are amongst the Catholics, and there are.
All right.
There are some. I mean, they're anti-death penalty, yet they...
Well, they're sinning if they're anti-death penalty.
Wow.
Just like the Mennonites and all the Gurkhashites and all those.
Ites.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's sinful to be a pacifist and to be against the death penalty. God said... He said, will you profane me keeping people alive who should not live?
Wow.
So when Scott Peterson is convicted, he better be.
Yeah.
I think he will because these Modesto cops, they've learned a lot from the OJ fiasco.
Yeah, yeah. They've definitely played it close to the vest and tried to be as conservative as possible. In there.
Yeah. There was no rush to judgment.
No rush to judgment.
Because from now on, when the cops know someone did it, they're never going to say
it. No, they'll never say it again.
Right. They're going to accuse the mother-in-law.
Right.
The neighbor, the butler. Hey, why is it that the butler always used to do it? Now we don't even have butlers anymore.
I don't know, but I could use a butler.
You could?
I wouldn't mind a butler.
A butler or a maid?
I like a butler. It's very classy.
Oh, cool.
You know, think of that another guy who probably speaks better English than you is serving you dinner. You know, the butlers always seem more intelligent, at least on TV, than the people they serve.
That's true, but that's probably a Hollywood thing. You
yeah,
know?
It probably is. They're actually, most of the butlers in America today probably just speak Honduran or something.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with speaking Honduran.
No, there's nothing wrong with speaking Honduran.
All right.
How did we get off on butlers?
So, I don't know.
Bob, this Peterson case,
yeah.
The case of the idea that you just put forth that people profane God by allowing people to live. Well, while they're profaning God, isn't it logical to assume that people who have murder in their hearts and people who are in circumstances that might lead them to want to kill someone are encouraged by the fact
right,
that the government
right.
doesn't put these people to death?
Exactly.
They're actually – it inflames their passions, I think, or it's one of the factors.
In these pacifist Christians, they take up the enemy – they become the enemies of God – when they take God's enemy's side and they say, for example, well, the death penalty is not a deterrent.
Yeah, yeah.
God promises in the Bible that if you swiftly execute criminals, that you will put away all this wickedness from among you.
That's right.
God promises that. And so they reject God's promise and God's command, and they go with who? Hillary Clinton?
Yeah, and Chuck Schumer and the governor. Who's the former governor of Illinois, the moratorium?
Oh, yeah.
The death penalty moratorium guy, yeah. And that whole crowd and the peaceniks and the hippies.
Right.
And so, the homos so and you, the liberals.
Yeah, and it's funny how they're all, you know, they're all related in that. For example, they're pro-abortion and against the death penalty.
Right.
Now, why would that be? Because they want to kill the innocent and protect the guilty. There's no other conceivable reason. Why are liberals against the war in Iraq? Because they hate moral clarity.
Ah, they hate moral clarity. Very good way
to
put
it. They hate
it. Yeah, they hate it.
There will be a cacophony of voices against condemning Scott Peterson.
Oh, sure. Bound to hear that.
Yeah. And, well, he's not black, so we'll eliminate – about 35 million.
Kwasi Mfume won't be marching for him.
Who would have taken his side.
Sure, yeah.
Right? But so thankfully he's white. Because
so
that will
be a little more moral clarity on this issue.
Right. At least it'll reduce the number of people who are defending him.
Mm.
But there will be people will hate the idea of him being swiftly convicted because that reeks of moral clarity. They don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
It gets too close to home because they're murderers. They kill their unborn children. They're liars. They're adulterers and fornicators.
And if they have to admit the moral clarity in this case, they would have to admit that there is moral clarity, period.
Right.
And then some of their deeds and some of their behaviors and some of their ideas might have to be brought out into the daylight, and they might have to admit that they were not only wrong, but even criminal.
Yeah, and that's why so many millions approved of Bill Clinton, because if you're a lying fornicator and you're taking a survey and it says, do you approve of Bill Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
You just get this vision of yourself in the mirror and you say, of course.
Of course. Makes me look pretty good.
Right. And maybe someday I could be the president.
Yeah, the most powerful man in the world. Mm-hmm. He's really no better than I am. He's just as immoral, maybe even more.
Yeah, so it made people feel good. Lying fornicators approved of Bill Clinton. I remember when I met Joe Scott's father in person at office downtown
Joe
Denver.
Joe Scott, the pro-life activist here in Denver?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad because we were just, working on exposing Bill Clinton for raping Juanita Broderick.
Yeah, I remember that.
And he came into the office, and within 3 minutes, he was vociferously defending Bill Clinton.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I said, well, the fact that he raped one of his campaign workers, does that give you pause, or would you at least want to know if he raped her? And he was uninterested.
Wasn't interested. That's not really news, huh?
Right. Well. So, I said something to him.
Yeah, I'm sure you made his day.
And he left. Yeah. I think it lasted 3 minutes.
Well, there's no quicker way to clear someone out of your immediate presence than to point up any moral clarity. That generally will clear the bar.
Yeah, that's true. We've had experience with that.
Clear the room.
And it's effective. So even when there are evil rulers, you can use that to your advantage in a particular debate.
Hmm.
Because you let that person be a line of demarcation.
Yeah.
Do you acknowledge that this person is evil, or what this person does is evil? And if they defend that, then you know that they're, morally on a bad foundation.
So this case will be an opportunity for a couple things: an opportunity for justice for Lacey Peterson and her baby, and an opportunity for folks like us and Christians to draw a line of demarcation. Which side do you stand on?
Christians should call for Scott Peterson to be put to death.
And quickly.
Yeah.
Painfully.
Yeah, that should be our desire to see him executed. Doug, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
This is Bob in here reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.